Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres kick off an interleague series up the road against the Angels in Anaheim. And we've got Jesse Agler in studio. But that's not all.
And of course, Bill Center is, you're right here.
I'm here.
Yep, Bill Center is here as well, which is a fact that if you didn't get it from Jesse's introduction, you didn't get it from my introduction, maybe you'll get it when Bill introduces himself.
Hey, Jesse, Center here.
First of all, thank you for identifying yourself.
Good point.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Memorial Day 2015. Look outside, Coronado Bridge, and some serious-looking naval warships doing their thing. Welcome to Petco Park and the AMR studio. As mentioned several times already, that's Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Yesterday's game can be summed up in four words. That's more like it. That's kind of how I feel.
Exactly right. They finally broke loose. The 11 runs on 20 hits almost equaled their production in the previous five games. That's how serious it was.
Well, how about this? They'd lost 7 of 8, and in the previous 8 games, they had totaled 13 runs. 13 runs in 8 games, and then they score 11 in the one game against the Dodgers. Almost all against Frias. It was a very chilly reception he was given.
Yes, and then they just sort of left him out. Oh, Frias, chilly reception. That one went right by me. And then they just left.
I love throwing those ones at you. Yeah.
And then they just left him out there, just like that.
You know, that was interesting. Let me ask you a question here, because I've been watching Don Mattingly closely now. This is my second season, so not a very long time. But in the two seasons, really less than, he's done a whole bunch of things that make me scratch my head. Now, I get leaving the guy out there. You're way out in front in the division, or at least you feel comfortable about your place in the division. You don't want to burn up your bullpen. You took the first two games of this series. All right, let's leave the kid out there and let him do his thing. But if you're going to do that, then leave him out there to do his thing and save your bullpen. Instead, he ended up using like 15 pitchers in yesterday's game. I sort of feel like it should be one or the other. If you're okay using that many guys, get him out of there before it becomes completely out of hand.
Right. The only thing he didn't use was really his long man. And I mean, he let him go long enough. Then he used up the rest of his bullpen. But
so maybe that was the idea.
I think he really wanted to go longer with him and then just became so exasperated because the score was sort of leaning towards 20-0 at that point.
It was. All right, so that's more like it. That's what we got to say about yesterday's game. Tonight the Padres have a 6-0-5 start in Anaheim. First trip to Orange County since 2009 for the Padres. You know how I feel about the schedule makers in Major League Baseball. The easiest, shortest trip on the schedule, first time since 2009, these teams will meet up in Anaheim.
You should be playing the Angels every year, to be perfectly honest, in my book. I mean, you should.
What about
be
our natural rivals in Seattle?
Don't get me started on the natural rival thing.
The Peoria Punishers or something. I don't know.
Right. I just hate that. And then all that Vetter Cup talk doesn't.
Why don't you like the Vetter Cup?
I just don't
like. Is it because he's a Cub fan, so he personally has no interest?
Right. Well, and the fact that it's just like the natural rival, all that crap.
That's what I like about the Vetter Cup thing is that the fans.
It does poke fun at it.
Right. The fans realized, hey, Major League Baseball is forcing this natural quote-unquote rivalry on us. Let's dig up something that can at least make some sense with it.
Okay.
And that's why I love the Vetter Cup thing. Because it's almost an ironic celebration of the non-rivalry.
Well, to me, it just sort of keeps reminding me of just how stupid it is to have Seattle as your natural rival.
Yeah, I guess the spring training thing could be argued for. They share a complex. No, doesn't really mean it.
Does not mean a darn thing.
All right, fair enough. So tonight, 1-3 in Anaheim. Again, a 6:05 game on Memorial Day. We're on a little bit earlier than we would normally be, even for a 6 o'clock game, because coming up at 5 o'clock, Fox Sports San Diego has a very special hour-long pregame show, not only to get you ready for this game in Anaheim tonight, but also some very special Memorial Day tributes coming up. So you want to stay tuned for that. A big afternoon of Memorial Day and baseball coming up on Fox Sports San Diego. So let's talk a little bit more about yesterday afternoon in Los Angeles. Justin Upton, this is not new news. This is not news breaking, but he is a really, really really special baseball player, isn't he?
Really good player. I mean, if he continues at the pace he's on right now, he will have, in terms of home runs and RBIs, the second greatest season in Padres history. I mean, it would be 45. I mean, pretty close to 45 homers and 130 RBIs, and that would be a spectacular season.
Yeah, no, I would say so. That, especially in this era,
right?
Guys don't hit that many home runs, and I don't know that he necessarily will hit that many home runs.
Right.
But the fact that he's even on the pace to do so on Memorial Day tells you it's been a pretty serious start to the season for him.
And he's with guys, I mean, when he came up with the bases loaded in the first, one of those guys, I thought he could do it. Not just,
yeah,
I'm hoping he can do it. I thought he could do it, and he did deliver.
It was a very realistic expectation,
right,
almost. You weren't grasping at straws.
No.
Even after the previous week where they just couldn't seem to score any runs, you were like, all right, this is the guy that I want up here. And really, we talk a lot about lineup construction, right? That's a really hot topic this year for the Padres and fans and media. The reason you put your big home run guy fourth is because of that situation.
Right.
If the first three guys get on, that's who you want up in that big home run situation. It doesn't happen all that often where the first three guys reach to start the top of the first or the bottom of the first if you're the home team, but it did yesterday, and so Justin Upton was a true, legit, literal cleanup hitter in that situation.
And, I mean, you get number of bases loaded situations during the year, and with most of them, you're hoping that something can happen. But when Justin Upton comes up with the bases loaded, you know this guy could make it happen.
Yes, that's exactly it.
And that's a big difference.
And he did make it happen. Credit to the other guys, too. Justin Upton obviously drives in six runs in the first two innings, which is a pretty nice thing to be able to say about your afternoon. Grand slam in the first, and then the two-run double in the second.
Putting him on a 25 RBI pace for the game.
Yeah, love paces. Unfortunately, he was unable to continue that pace and set the major league record with 25 runs batted in a single game.
Okay.
But credit to everybody else getting on base and putting the
right
big bopper in position.
20 hits.
Yeah.
And they also had some walks. I mean, they had a lot of guys on base. I thought the two-run hit by Norris, I thought that was huge, too.
That was sort of the, okay, that's
right,
it.
Right, that's right.
It. No more thinking about a comeback.
That was the capper right there.
They had the infield in. It was sort of a desperation moment. You're like, all right, it's 8-0 in the second. Good night, Loretta.
Right.
That's it. Good night, Irene. Good night,
Loretta.
Good night to all of the ladies.
Right.
Any lady that you want to say good night to, you could say good night to
her. I thought you were talking about Mark Loretta.
No. This was the woman named Loretta.
Okay.
I would not say good night to Mark Loretta. I would say hi to Mark Loretta.
Okay.
All right. All right, so moving forward now, time to get on a roll, right? I mean, that's the thing for the Padres is don't let yesterday be the sort of blip on the radar in a tough month of May. Let tomorrow be the thing that kickstarts a nice stretch here. Once again, and we'll talk more about James Shields as we continue, but once again, the pitching did their part for sure, and now you got to get this thing going here. You can't
right.
just leave it all on the field on Sunday in Los Angeles.
Right. You've got the six straight quality starts. The pitching is sort of falling into where Buddy yesterday was even talking about, where he thought it would be, and now you've got the big offensive game. Now let's get some consistency with that offense. If you do, the pitching going the way it has, maybe now you can build a run.
That's what you need to do at this point,
right,
certainly, if you're the Padres. You had made the comment before the show started. We were just sitting here talking off the air because we have conversations even when there is no camera. The Padres are averaging like 5 runs per game.
Right.
But sort of the way it's been going, man, if they could just actually score 5 runs every game, they might be 10 games better in the standings
They'd
than they are right
really
now.
They'd be in really good shape.
But it's sort of been all or nothing. It's a really weird thing. How do you explain the all or nothing? It's the 11 runs on the 20 hits, or it's the no runs on 3 hits, it seems like.
And it's impossible to explain it. I mean, there are times I've watched games this year, and it's just been – I mean, I feel the frustration of Buddy and the players because – it's like something they turn it on and turn it off, which they're not turning it on and turning it off. They're just blowing hot and cold.
Yeah.
But if they reach any consistency, they're going to be fine.
That's what you, I guess, need to wait for. That's
right.
What we're all doing. We're sitting here spinning our feet waiting for the consistency to happen. And again, hopefully yesterday gets the bats going. Hopefully tonight and moving forward, the pitching continues to do what it's done the last turn plus through the rotation. All right, when we come back, we'll talk more about James Shields. I want to throw a couple of other things out there. One, remember, you can join the conversation with us on Twitter. Use the hashtag PadresSH. That's how you get in touch with us. The hashtag is PadresSH. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour to watch the show and chat with other fans. So those are a couple of ways to get in touch with us. Speaking of Twitter, though, Tim Haggerty, you know, the voice of the El Paso Chihuahuas, our friend Tim, he calls in regularly to the program to get us updated on what's happening with the Padres AAA affiliate. They were attempting earlier today to play a game at Round Rock at the Express. They are not playing that game. It has been postponed. That is as flooded of an outfield as you are ever going to see.
They called it inclement weather. They didn't even call it rain. Actually, they could have just put, you know, postponed, flood.
Yes. You could legitimately take like a small inflatable dinghy and get around the outfield there. It looks like it's that deep.
It is amazing. You can't even see the grass. I mean, a little bit of patch right in center, but there is so much water on that field.
Somebody needs to get some scuba equipment out.
Right.
And just, you know how like they slide on the tarp during a rain delay? You
can go actually, fishing?
Yeah, exactly.
A rowboat with a fishing pole?
I like that. I could see like Cody Decker out in the middle of the outfield with a rowboat and a fishing pole.
Right. Interesting thing in Texas, a couple days ago, they've been in a drought situation. And several days ago, they officially said that Texas is no longer in a drought. And the next day, they put out a warning on flooding throughout the state.
That's usually how it goes, right? What is it, the old Johnny Carson joke about California? You know, everything's great. The floods are putting out the wildfires.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, it seems like it's one extreme or the other.
And Texas is the same way. I mean, they've really been in a drought for years, and now they've got more water than they need.
Unbelievable. All right, we'll take a break. I want to talk about James Shields yesterday and the pitching performances in general. Tyson Ross will be out on the hill tonight in Anaheim against Jared Weaver, who had an absolutely miserable start to his season, but has really turned it around the last few times out and has kind of looked like his old good self. So a nice challenge for the Padres tonight. Obviously a little bit of a different-looking lineup with the designated hitter. Matt Kemp is going to DH today. We'll talk more about that and everything else as time goes on and also get to your questions and comments on Twitter and in the chat. To guarantee the opportunity to purchase tickets to next year's All-Star Game at Petco Park, become a Padres season ticket member at the Gold or Platinum level and lock in your chance to get tickets. Call 619-795-5555 or email tickets@padres.com to become a member today. We're getting closer and closer to this year's All-Star Game in Cincinnati, and then it's on to San Diego for the Midsummer Classic next season. Become a season ticket member at the Gold or Platinum level to guarantee your chance to purchase tickets to the All-Star Game. Take a break, come back, talk about James Shields. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Hope everybody's enjoying Memorial Day weekend. At the end, Padres Live, the pregame show coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Mike Pomerantz and the crew have a very special Memorial Day story to tell you. You don't want to miss it, believe me. So be sure to stay tuned for that. And then, of course, Dick Mudd and Chris have the game from Anaheim, Tyson Ross and Jared Weaver. That's what's coming up on the television side. Bill, obviously Memorial Day has a great meaning and an important and somber meaning, but it's also a big day for day baseball.
Right.
And we've had some interesting things happen today. Let's start with this. Josh Hamilton making his return to the Rangers lineup. Started in left field, batting fifth, 0 for 3 with a walk and a run. The Rangers game is still ongoing against Cleveland. Texas has a 10-8 lead in the top of the eighth inning. Hashtag American League Baseball. That's going to be a really interesting thing to follow as the Padres get ready to face his old team, or his most recent old team, I guess, the Angels tonight.
You know, and I have a very strong feeling about drugs, performance enhancing drugs in sport, but I am really happy to see Josh Hamilton back because his demon is far different than other stories of drugs in sports. And I pray that he's put it behind us, and being back in Texas, he can be in an environment where he can function and thrive and not have to go through this again.
Beautifully said, and I echo everything that just came out of your mouth. Another interesting one earlier today, the Giants in Milwaukee, and in the first inning, in the bottom of the first inning, Chris Davis for the Brewers hit a home run to center field, and then he appeared to do something that you almost never see, which is that at the end of his home run trot, he missed home plate, and the home plate umpire caught it, and the Giants caught it, and so they appealed before the pitch was thrown to start the next at bat, which is weird, by the way, because usually when you see those appeals, it's on a tag up or a guy missing one of the bases, not home plate. So the catcher actually gets out in front of the plate, catches it, steps on the plate, and the home plate umpire calls him out. So Craig Counsell, now the manager for the Brewers, comes running out. What are you talking about? He's like, let's challenge that. And they actually overturned it. And it was really, really close.
That he just caught the corner of the plate.
Maybe. He sort of overstepped the plate, and maybe his heel got back on it.
Right.
I never saw a conclusive angle to overturn it. Maybe they had a better angle in New York. But, boy, that would have been, and already sort of is, almost the most embarrassing thing you can do on a baseball field.
That would have been it.
Right?
I can't think of missing a home plate on a home run trot.
On a homer.
Right. which reminds me, a couple nights ago, the Padres had an interesting one where it looked like Derek Norris didn't touch home plate. Well, the more I looked at the replay, and it looked like his foot bounced up and never touched the plate. I think his foot, his cleat, caught home plate on the front end side.
Got it.
And bounced up. And I think that's why they ruled that he was safe, is that, yes, it actually caught the front end of the plate, and then everything popped up.
This one with Chris Davis today, obviously totally different situation.
Right.
Because there's no pressure, there's no rush. You're literally just stepping on home plate.
All you've got to do
And he stepped right over it, and I guess they're saying the back of his ankle or the back of his heel caught a piece of the plate. This is the equivalent, right, in football. You see it happen once or twice a year. The guy starts celebrating before he crosses the goal line and, like, tosses the ball, you know, or drops the ball or something like that, and then the other team gets it or it goes out of bounds. That's basically what this is.
Chargers had one years ago. Wide receiver named Duckworth actually threw the ball down at the 5-yard line. I mean, it was like holy mackerel.
Yeah.
It's one thing, like, to be a yard away.
Right.
But at the 5, it was like, okay.
Yeah, who knows. All right, so that's some of what's taking place around baseball on this Memorial Day. I like this comment, and it comes in the live chat from Smith J. And he's talking about keeping up the fire, Justin Upton. That's another thing I loved about yesterday as I'm kind of, you know, paying attention to that game, was that Justin Upton followed up the ejection on Saturday and all the anger and all the fire at the home plate umpire, and then goes out there and sort of just takes complete control and command of the situation on Sunday.
Immediately.
Yeah. First inning.
Right. I thought it was a great bounce back. And again, getting thrown out at that situation, I mean, does pump up everybody a little bit. I think that him getting thrown out at that time, his voicing his displeasure, a lot of people think that Justin's a really soft-spoken guy. He is. He has a fire to him that Buddy's even talked about at times.
Fiery competitor, but with that laid-back personality when it's not needed, I guess.
But he gets very fired up behind the scenes, and well, and that out in the middle of the scene on the night before last.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about James Shields. He was a big part of this thing yesterday. He goes 7 innings. I think a lot of people were wondering why he came out of the game. What was he, like 72 pitches through 7 innings? He just given up the 3 runs. Look, my explanation is save your bullets.
Right.
You know, I mean, the guy doesn't need to go out there and throw 100 pitches every time out. The game was well under control. Buddy said afterwards, hey, we got some work in for some of the other guys in the bullpen. I had no problem with that whatsoever.
Not at all, because one thing, you're carrying an extra reliever right now anyway. So you're a man short in the bench. You've got 8 relievers. Plus, with Shields, 72 pitches, it's almost like now he gets a little bit more rest before his next start. I thought it was a great idea to bring him out. There's no reason. Now, if it's 5-1, then yeah, and he's going good.
Different
situation.
You
want him to throw. You want him to throw a complete game. 11-3. There's no reason for him to keep going on.
I agree with all of that. But he made an interesting point too after the game when he was talking about James Shields and sort of his day yesterday. And Buddy was talking obviously very much as a starting pitcher himself. And he goes, "Hey, it's tougher than you guys realize." to go out there and pitch well when you've been staked to that early lead,
right,
and that big lead. And he sort of talked about, you know, maintaining the edge and the sharpness. And I guess psychologically it's a little bit easy to lose focus maybe if you're up 6-0 or 4-0 after an inning. And obviously the early scoring had no negative impact whatsoever on the guy.
No, and what I really liked is not only did it have no negative impact, I think it had a positive impact because he really went after hitters with that lead. Sometimes, I mean, you do see guys lose the edge, and then you see them lose the control and the command and everything else. He went right after people. It's like, you're going to hit the first pitch. I'm going to throw it for a strike. We're going to get out of here quick. You're not going to get 11 runs before I can get all the outs I need to get out of this game.
I like that, too, and we see it so often with different pitchers, you know, starters and relievers, but a guy comes in with a big lead and he starts nibbling or walking somebody. I would imagine as a pitching coach there's got to be nothing more frustrating than that. When you've got the big lead, use it. Challenge people.
Right.
And if they beat you, okay, life goes on. Don't try and get too fine in that situation.
Right, and it's like the home run. Hey, that did not hurt anybody. You know, generally with that pitch, you're going to get an out.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break, come back. We got some more Twitter questions coming in. Remember, you can join us by using the hashtag PadresSH. That's how you join the conversation on Twitter. Got a couple of good ones coming in. We'll talk about those. We'll also talk more about today's game between the Padres and the Angels, and also the very, very tough schedule that San Diego has had to play so far this year and how much you think that has impacted some of the ups and downs, the peaks and valleys that the Padres have had so far in 2015. Saturday night is baseball night in San Diego, and this week it features a Matt Kemp Padres replica jersey presented by Petco for every fan in attendance. Get your tickets for Saturday night's game against the Pirates at Padres.com and walk away with your very own Kemp camo jersey. Don't forget the pet bandana. All of that is presented by Petco. All fans in attendance get the Kemp camo jersey this Saturday night for the game against the Buccos. We'll take a break, come back, get to more of your questions. This is Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour. Jesse Agler, Bill Center with you on this Memorial Day. We are at Petco Park. The Padres are in Anaheim for the first of three against the Angels. They are already deconstructing Mick and Keith and guys' set and stage out there. It's amazing how quickly the Rolling Stones stuff is being taken out of Petco Park.
Amazing was the word. I walked out to looked out in the field, and amazing is the word that I would have used to sum it up, too. You cannot tell that there was a concert here last night. Blooper was talking about that even before he left the ballpark last night, they were removing chairs. They got the a lot of the platform off the field. The grass is green. I mean, the ballpark really looks pretty good, considering there were however many people here last night watching this concert, which was spectacular from what I understand.
That's what I understand as well. No surprise there. The Rolling Stones putting on a great show. Blooper was unable to book us, Mick Jagger or Keith Richards or even one of the other guys, to come on the show. But he has told me that before her concert later this summer, he is guaranteeing that we get Taylor Swift on the show.
Sitting right here?
Or on the phone. If she's got to do the telephone thing, I would understand that. You know, she's very busy. She's traveling all over the place. But I hear she's a very big baseball fan, and she's even seen the show a couple of times. So Blooper feels very confident that before her concert at Petco Park later this summer, Taylor Swift will be on Padres Social Hour.
Blooper's guaranteed that.
He has absolutely guaranteed that. Right, Blooper?
No.
I don't know. Come on. Don't be modest.
Jeez.
I think she follows him on Twitter, actually.
Is that
right? So I think they've had some online conversations. I'm not quite sure what about. But I believe he's got like a little bit of like a, you know, an online friendship, if you will.
Must be the facial hair.
With Taylor Swift. Yeah, she's really into patchy beards. I think that must be it. I think that must be it. Hey, the folks in the live chat at Padres.com/social hour are on fire today. Some really good questions coming out of there. So we'll get to those and then get to some Twitter questions as well.
All right.
If you're on Twitter, you can use the hashtag PadresSH. So we'll go over the full starting line. You know what? Let's put up tonight's starting lineup. Got a couple of questions in the chat about the starting lineup. So let's put it up. Blooper, do you have that accessible? There it is. It's the Padres starting lineup presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. All right, so obviously a little bit different in the American League ballpark. Solarte leading off at first, Venables in center, Kemp is DHing, Upton, Norris, Spangenberg at second, Middlebrooks at third, Almonte in right, and Amarista, the former Angel, the Ninja's Revenge this week in Anaheim, Alexi batting ninth and playing shortstop. So let's go. Padres in the chat says, hey, I think Buddy wants to get Almonte's lefty bat in there against Jared Weaver.
Well,
when it comes to why maybe Matt Kemp is DHing, where on the list of reasons why Kemp is DHing would you put Almonte's left-handed bat?
Way down. I mean, I think this is a great chance to get Kemp off of his feet for a game and still have him in the lineup. I wouldn't be surprised if Upton gets the DH one day. I mean, yeah, you get your outfielder. I mean, you're going to need your outfielders out there as much as you can. This gives you a chance to get them off their feet, DH for a game, and then be fresh again. So
it's a contributing factor, yes or no? You'll give him that?
Yeah, I'll give it a contributing factor. I was a little bit surprised that maybe they didn't call up an extra bat for the series from AAA El Paso.
Yeah, you might think that there was a roster move to be made here and
right,
shorten that bullpen again.
Right, because they're carrying extra relievers right now with the with a DH and Almonte in there. You're down to a three-man bench.
That's
one of
it.
Those, a backup catcher. So, yeah, you don't
We were saying that last week, I remember, that we were sort of half expecting a move to be made to get another position player here prior to the American League Series against Anaheim. But there's always a billion reasons why or why not something like that happens.
You know what this tells me?
What does this tell you, Bill?
Alonso's closer than we expect.
Ah, he will be starting his rehab assignment soon.
Right.
Buddy Black, by the way, in the dugout in Anaheim a few minutes ago, gave an update on Will Myers. Pass along that information for you in just a moment. But another lineup question, this one from Conrad. He wants to know why Austin Hedges is not in the lineup, and you give Norris a chance to get off his feet and be the designated hitter.
Well, you got three games. I mean, this might be the excellent opportunity to get Norris off his feet, too. I think that I think you're absolutely right. I think the three DHs will be Norris off his feet one game, Kemp off his feet one game, and Upton off his feet one game.
We did not see Norris DH in Seattle, which is the only other road American League City games that the Padres have played. But that was a two-game set.
Right.
And I think it was Kemp and Upton, if memory serves, the DH to those two games. So we'll see. You know, I saw somebody on Twitter earlier today, and they were saying, well, you know, if you have Norris as the DH and something were to happen to Austin Hedges, you would lose your DH for the rest of the game. I don't know if that's necessarily a reason not to do it.
No.
That's sort of like a high-level contingency fear, I guess.
Right. I mean, no. I mean, so what?
Yeah. All right. I understand. Let's see. Maybe one more from the chat before we get to the questions. Oh, this is good. Seriously Delusional Homer on here. He wants to know how he can be a guest the night that Taylor Swift is here. Well, you just come on down. If she's here and it's a home game, even if it's not, I mean, the store is open. We are in the Padres team store. That's where the AMR studio is located. Blooper has that wide shot. You can kind of see it when he uses it sometimes. Like, you can walk right up there. Right now, the store is closed. I believe they're doing inventory. I believe that because they all look to be working very hard. And
the door was locked.
Yeah, that too. But generally, the store is open, normal business hours, and obviously before the games. So Blooper's going to get Taylor Swift on the show. And if it happens to be in person, then, yeah, come on down to the store.
And that camera is right from the viewer's deck.
That's exactly. Do we call it that, the viewer's deck?
Why not?
I like that. That's a good term. We could get that sponsored. It could be like the Cholula Viewers Deck or something like that. All right, I like that, the Viewers Deck. All right, Twitter in just a moment. First, an update on Will Myers. He's got that left wrist tendonitis. He is coming back to San Diego tomorrow, and they're going to rescan the wrist, and that way they can compare the way the scans look now as opposed to how they looked a couple of weeks ago when he first had his scans done, and they can kind of check how good or not progress he's making. So wait and see, I guess.
Well, that's all you can do right now. He's not swinging a bat at all. It was the Tuesday a week ago, tomorrow, that he went out, tried to swing the bat, could not, and they put him on the disabled list. So he has not swung the bat since he went out there to try.
Yeah.
And to me, it's not good news.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not good news. It's not necessarily bad news.
No.
And if they go tomorrow and they look at these scans and they go, oh, look, hey, this is much better than it was a couple of weeks ago, that's great. But before he can really do anything else, he's got to be able to swing the bat. He's got to be able, whether it's off a tee or batting practice or something, you got to know that he's got the strength and the power to swing the
bat.
And
he's got to put the torque on it, and he can't feel and he, where he's feeling the pain is on the follow through. That's the biggest thing.
Right.
And if you got pain on the follow through, that's affecting. If you know your mind's telling you it's going to hurt, then that's going to affect your swing.
All right. So there's a mental component
right.
as well. All right. So you know, fingers crossed for Will Myers. But yeah, Yonder Alonso, he could be playing a rehab assignment with the Lake Elsinore Storm as early as tomorrow, maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday, and that means he's getting pretty close.
Right.
How long would you expect that that assignment to go? Any sense?
Two or three games.
Okay.
I mean, if it was any longer, then you would send him to El Paso. But Lake Elsinore is perfect for a two or three game. Keep him close. Take a look at him. As soon as he's ready, drive home.
Perfect. Nice and easy drive
right.
from the Diamond down to downtown San Diego. All right, some good information there. Should we get to some Twitter questions, or do we have to do the break blooper? We have time for a couple Twitter questions. He says, what was that? Huh?
Break.
Oh, you want me to break? All right, we'll take the break. Then we'll come back to Twitter questions.
A little indecisive right there, buddy.
He gets timid. You know, that's kind of part of his appeal. As your hometown pet retailer... Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. All right, so we'll do Twitter questions when we come back. Also, we've got our head-to-head challenge. Blooper is on the board, I think. He had Justin Upton yesterday.
He whipped me.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. So congratulations in advance to him. We'll do the head-to-head challenge in a little bit. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show. He's Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Memorial Day. Padres and Angels coming up in Anaheim. Tyson Ross and a resurgent Jared Weaver. We just told you Will Myers is going to be headed back this direction tomorrow, have that left wrist re-scanned so they can sort of assess what kind of progress has been made there. Meanwhile, more injury news from Buddy Black. Dennis Lynn tweeting a few moments ago, Brandon Morrow's sim game will be Thursday here at Petco prior to the game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So he continues to move forward. Also, Yonder Alonso is going through full baseball activities and will begin a rehab assignment Wednesday, assumingly with the Lake Elsinore Storm. Good news for Morrow and Alonso.
Excellent news because, okay, Wednesday's even a day earlier than they were talking about. Three or four games, maybe see him by the weekend. I mean, that would be the most optimistic view.
Absolutely. All right, Blooper, we talked about it earlier. He is guaranteed that Taylor Swift will be on our show. He struck out on the Rolling Stones. No Mick
really
Jagger.
Disappointed.
Me too. None of them. He, not even the guy that nobody knows that, like, is, you know, sort
of
part
of the
band.
And then we find out afterwards that Mick Jagger's out hiking in the backcountry. I mean, Blooper couldn't get him here for the show.
Just 5 minutes. But anyway, he has really decided for himself that he is guaranteeing before her concert later this summer at Petco Park that Taylor Swift is going to be on the show. So he's working on that. And Friar Fever tweeted in that I think before she shows up, Seth Foster has to sing his favorite T-Swift song. I am absolutely in agreement with that. I don't think, Friar Fever, that there's any question that in order for him to successfully book Taylor Swift, he probably needs to serenade her on the air.
That.
What's your favorite of the Taylor Swift songs? And please, something from the 1989 album, which, of course, is also the tour.
I'm assuming Shake It Off is on that album.
Okay, Shake It Off. Can you give us a bar or two?
No.
Come on, just a little taste. A little taste. No?
Eh.
All right, but you're going to get her on the show, right?
Yes.
All right, there you go. Such confidence. Such confidence. Oh, my goodness. All right, Brooks says, hey, at Bill Center, or at Padres Central, I suppose, Bill, how did you like former Padre Jesse Hahn? Strong, complete game performance today. Yeah, like what, a five-hitter, I think, for the
right.
Athletics today. His first career complete game.
I love Jesse Hahn, what I saw of him last year. So now everybody's going to say, well, why did we trade Jesse Hahn? You've got an everyday major league catcher, probably, I think, should probably be the National League All-Star catcher. And if you can get a major league everyday player, top rank for a pitcher, you do it.
There you go.
Every day.
I agree with that. And, hey, man, I agree. Jesse Hahn, really, really talented.
Right. Very
young
talented.
Right-hander. I'm partial to guys with that name who pitch well in the big leagues. But I'm completely happy and fine with the way that trade worked out.
And, you know, Jesse Hahn, if his career moves forward from here, and I hope it does, really, Jesse Hahn might – show a different dynamic to how you return from Tommy John surgery, because the protocol has always been, well, a year or so, you're ready to pitch again. And Tampa Bay and the Padres really took their time with Jesse Hahn coming back. It was a three-year process before he was really going out every day and working. And it's very interesting that he's as good right now as he is after Tommy John surgery at a very early time in his career.
Absolutely. All right, Bill. Now we've got some more serious questions coming in. Not that Jesse Hahn isn't a serious topic or Taylor Swift, but we've got some serious stuff coming in. So in order to really get our best answers out of you, I'm going to place you on the Cholula hot seat. So Bill is on the Cholula hot seat. It has been activated.
I can feel it warming up.
There you go. Eduardo wants to know, Upton's future with the Padres, staying or leaving? Why so? All right, so there you go. Justin Upton has been the most productive offensive player on this team by a lot. He's been one of the most productive offensive players in all of baseball through the first quarter plus of this season. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. It's a little early to get too deep into this conversation because a billion things can change. But right now, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that they knew he was going to be a free – the Padres, when they traded for him, knew he was going to be a free agent at the end of the 2015 season. So I'm thinking that you go for somebody like that knowing that you're going to have the money put together to make a bid to keep him. I don't think they got him as a one-year rental. I think they got him with the idea, okay, we know the situation. We're going to have a package that we can present to him. I think it might make a big difference that Melvin is also here. Mm-hmm. And I think that if the package is right with his brother playing here, if his parents are happy with that situation, it might work out in the Padres' favor.
Going to cost a lot of money. Quite a bit of money.
If they want to pay the money, I think they can keep him.
Got it. But it's going to take the money.
There's
not going to be a $20 million discount.
There's not going to be a San Diego discount here. And he's very clear about that. And he was honest up front all during spring training when it was first mentioned that, hey, would he be willing, the question was raised, would he be willing to sign an extension beforehand? Very honestly, he said he wanted to test the free agent market. I think he wants to know what everybody thinks his value is. Pro athletes like that. They like to know.
And it's his right.
And it's his right. But I think that the Padres wouldn't have traded for him in that situation if they didn't think we can put a package together to keep him at the end of this.
All right. So there you go on that one. Gavin sort of chimes in on the same topic, and he says, hey, considering the Padres' poor start and Upton's great start, signing him may really come down to, and then he appears to have started a GoFundMe page trying to raise $200 million for the Padres to sign Justin Upton. Yeah, it's one of those sites people can donate to.
Right, I know what that. Yeah, I know what GoFundMe is.
And that's pretty funny. So far, $0 of $200 million right, have been raised by Gavin or whoever put that together. But that could be about what it takes.
Right.
Let that sink in for a moment. You're probably talking somewhere in the neighborhood of $200 million.
And I think he's going to want his next contract to be a longer-term contract, too, not three. I would imagine he's going to want to get five, maybe something so that his next stop would be maybe the last stop in his career.
Yes, I would think so. Absolutely. All right, Bill, as always, you've handled yourself very nicely on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula is the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap. For a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano, check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. We talked about Blooper trying to get Taylor Swift on the program before her concert later this summer. He's very confident about doing so. And you may be asking yourself, well, how does Blooper go about trying to get Taylor Swift on Padres Social Hour? Apparently, this is how. He tweeted at her a few minutes ago, want to be a guest on my TV show. That'll get it done.
Yeah, that'll do it right there.
I mean, I'm surprised she hasn't written back yet.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's
obviously, her response is going to be, sure, when.
Yeah.
Yeah, anytime. Absolutely. Right. Oh, my goodness.
It was worth a shot.
Hey, right. You've got that gumption. I like that.
So just one segment, though, right?
You know what? She's a big baseball fan. We could keep her for two.
Okay.
If she only has time for one, that's fine. But if she's going to be here and she wants to hang out on the couch, you know, with you and hang out with Blooper during the break, I understand that. I understand that. Maybe she'll want a guest host for the day, and she'll stay the entire time.
I will get out of this.
Maybe she'll perform for us. Maybe we'll have a Taylor Swift song.
Live,
like a musical guest. We don't normally have musical guests. We've had guests who play music. Miles from Slightly Stupid came on.
Right.
Benj from OAR came on last year. Very talented musicians.
We had the organist.
Bobby Cressy plays the organ here, sure. But, you know, if she wants to – those guys haven't performed yet. Can we get an organ down here? Can we get Bobby to play the organ live on the show? Is that something that could happen?
I don't think so.
Well, you know, you're so negative. Why can't you? It's just an organ. They only weigh like 1,000 pounds.
Logistics, right?
Yeah,
we got a ramp.
Yeah, we got a ramp. We've got forklifts.
I can do it. That's
it. All right. There you go. That's more like it. All right, Bobby, if you're listening, we'd love to have you come on and play the organ at some point. During your next trip to Petco Park, check out a seat at the rail presented by Montalvo Tequila. This bar rail seating area in the Western Metal Building, and it features in-seat waiter service and great views of the field. Buy tickets to sit at the rail at Padres.com. That's exciting. Taylor Swift and Bobby Cressy. Maybe we could have them perform together.
Together.
Oh, he could play the organ
Blooper?
For one of her songs. Now we're talking. We'll take a break, come back. We've got our Supercuts head-to-head challenge when we return.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. We're here at the AMR studio at Petco Park. The deconstruction of the stage and the set and the chairs from the Rolling Stones concert continues. Out on the field, Padres up in Anaheim, and it's time now for our Supercuts head-to-head challenge. The way this works every day, Blooper competes against whoever the co-host is. The co-hosts are a team couch, essentially, the people who sit on the couch. And you choose one of the 9 players, or 10 in this case, with the designated hitter, who are starting for the Padres, and whoever has the greatest impact on the game is the winner. Yesterday, you took James Shields, is that right, Bill?
Right.
Who had a very nice day,
right.
But Blooper took Justin up there.
And he crushed me.
No question about it. So basically, this is a totally subjective thing. I sit here and I judge who wins, and happy to congratulate Blooper on his very first point of the season. He is on the board. He is no longer being shut out. The couch has a 3-1 lead.
And by the way, yesterday afternoon, I did send him a concession tweet.
That was very nice of you.
Yeah.
You're a gentleman, really, if nothing else.
That Blooper got me.
All right, so there you go. So he won yesterday. Today, Bill, you get the opportunity to pick first. We showed the lineup a little bit earlier. Who are you taking?
I think Blooper gets the first pick today.
No, it's you.
Oh, it's me?
Yeah, no, go. We rotate every day. He picked first yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I think. I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
All right. You know what? I'm going to take I'll take Upton today.
Okay, I like that. Just go with the hot bat.
Right.
Why not? All right.
Derek Norris.
All right, Upton and Norris.
Ooh.
No pitching today. No Tyson
Ross. No, I like that. Blooper showed me something there.
All right. We'll find out tomorrow who the winner is. That's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Let's get in one quick tweet before the break here. Gavin says, the new theme for the show on Padres Social Hour. And it is a picture. Oh, you can't see it on there. It's a picture of a hat that says Taylor Swift or Die. But, yes, that's pretty much what the new theme is for Blooper on the show. We're going to get him that hat. It's a bright neon green hat that just says Taylor Swift or Die.
Or die.
That's pretty much the mantra for Blooper between now and the time she plays Petco Park. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up this Memorial Day edition of Padres Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Jesse Agler, Bill Center. We've got a special hour-long edition of Padres Live, the pregame show coming up on Fox Sports San Diego. They got some very special Memorial Day stories to tell, so be sure to settle in and enjoy that one prior to Tyson Ross and Jared Weaver taking on one another tonight. Game 1 of 3 between the Padres and the Angels. Our show, maybe sadly, has been dominated by Taylor Swift talk today. Blooper is going to try and get her on the program prior to her concert here at Petco Park later this summer, and it really did sort of spiral out of control. Friar Fever on Twitter goes, I love how this went from get Taylor Swift to show up all the way to get her to host and give us a mini concert. It did sort of get out of control very quickly, but But I would say, hey, if you're going to try, you might as well go all the way.
Go all the way, right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so we're trying to get that to happen. Or at least Bobby Cressy to come on and play his organ. At least that.
One of those two things.
And if we can't get the organ down here, if logistically it's not possible, you know, they got those Casio keyboards. You can make it sound like an organ, like do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, it'll work fine. It'll be good enough for our purposes. And maybe even Bluebird, there's like a wire you could run, plug it in, it'll sound like it's on in the whole system. That would be really, really outstanding. Oh, man. That's it?
We're done.
I had a lot more to talk about. Travis Ishikawa DFA'd by the Giants, a postseason hero from last year. Just another example. Get in the tournament and get hot. We'll maybe talk more about that tomorrow and how playoff stuff works.
Ishikawa and Casey McGee in two days.
Crazy. All right. Enjoy the pregame show and the game. We'll be back tomorrow at 5:30.